Now we both kinda like it. Now we both kinda know that if we're ever gonna make it, we just need to let go.
You're listening to the Crosscutting Concerns podcast. I'm your host, Matt Groves. Please visit the site at crosscuttingconcerns.com, where you can subscribe, browse the archives, contact me, read show notes, and leave a comment.
I'm recording this podcast on May 5th, 2017, here at the StirTrek Software Conference in Columbus, Ohio. My guest today is a speaker at StirTrek, Brett Whittington, a senior developer at HMB. How are you doing?
I'm doing well today. It's really exciting. Lots of activity here at the Schottenstein Center, for sure.
That's right. We're at the Schottenstein Center. It's on the Ohio State University campus. This is where all the men's basketball games are played, among other things. It's a really unique, interesting venue. So you're speaking today on security. So security is a broad topic. What specifically about security are you talking about?
So I focus more on, in this talk, on data emotion, talking about the connections between end users and web servers, mostly like data flowing through the internet. And that's where most of the focus on my talk is today.
We're talking when someone's making a request to an endpoint, posting data to it, or getting data from it.
Right.
What are some mistakes people make when trying to secure data?
So a lot of mistakes people make, I've seen, is they might have an SSL cert on their web server to secure their website. But what actually happens is they're allowing like older SSL connections. Even though they have this cert and it's really well protected, they might be allowing people to connect with a really old browser or a protocol, which allows hackers like man-in-the-middle attacks to attack that encryption method and actually get at the data anyway. So that's a big thing. A lot of other companies that I've seen, they might only secure part of their website, so like the form data or the login, and assume that they're secure. And that's like the bare minimum I think you would need to do. But in my opinion, you should be securing everything. And that includes all data, all web traffic in general. And there is a cost to that, but it's so negligible that I think it shouldn't matter. Those are the two biggest mistakes that I've seen in my personal career.
You talked about SSH and older certificates. And generally, when I hear someone say SSH, I assume they mean, is that not the case? And what's the difference?
There's two types of connections web servers could make between each other. There's an implicit and an explicit connection. SSL connections are the older type. They do explicit where it's like a handshake where I just come up and I meet you and I just say, hey, we're going to shake hands and it's secure. And that's really the type of connection it is. And then a TLS connection, which is a newer, more secure type, what happens is the two parties, they wave at each other insecurely first to make sure that everybody is okay and that they're there. And then they make an actual secure connection after they do their wave. So it's a little bit more secure that way. With the SSL and the TLS, like SSL has basically been completely deprecated as far as a connection protocol, and TLS is like the latest and greatest, and there's like three versions of that, and only the latest version is considered secure at this time.
What can developers do about this? I mean, beyond making sure you have the correct up-to-date certificate in place, what else can a developer do to secure data in motion?
As a developer, a lot of times people think about security as far as like logging in and stuff. Doing the SSL connection certificate stuff, that's usually like a DevOps job. So devs don't always see the firsthand, but they're also not keeping up on it either. But as far as the logging in and authentication part, like let's say you're making a web API method or whatever, and you need to secure it, they might not be setting the cookie type to secure always. They might let it be unsecured or secure. So if someone attempts to make a connection unsecurely, it might give an unencrypted cookie even. Making sure that your security settings in your startup auth on your web APIs would also help. And there's lots of blogs and tutorials about that online as well.
Are there any tools that a developer might use to find these situations, or maybe frameworks that would prevent them from happening in the first place?
Generally, when I'm talking to like brand new clients of ours, I'm usually doing like scans on their website for like broken links and stuff like that. I also use a website called SSL Labs, which they provide a free like web server scan. And basically it'll scan every type of connection to your web server to see if you're accepting connections, and it'll check your security certificate, and it'll generate a report of what you might be open to and what you're doing correctly. And if you have problems, it'll give you a grade and then give you a link on how to fix that problem, which is really, really handy in my opinion. There's another project that I like to use. It's called ZAPP, Z-A-P-P, which is OWASP's Zed Attack Proxy Project, I believe it's called. It's this Java app that you can download on your computer, and it will literally hit like every link on your website and form and probe it for attacks. I made the stupid mistake of running it on my personal website, and I completely blew out my analytics for the month on it. So if you're going to use that, I would like turn off your Google Analytics for the day or whatever. Normally my website gets like 20 hits, maybe 30 hits in a given week. And I had like 4,000 on that one day because I ran that thing.
So when you look at your analytics, it looks like mostly a flat line with one massive spike.
Yeah, exactly. It's not very helpful at all. Other things I look at to keep up to date, of course, OWASP's, every security person will mention their website. But I really like following Jim Manico on Twitter. He's an OWASP contributor. I believe he works for them too. And he has these discussions with security professionals all the time, and the topics that they discuss online are really interesting, and they're usually like posting these really good articles about new attacks and stuff all the time. So if you're not in the industry and following it heavily, you could follow somebody who talks about it all the time.
So let's talk about some of the dangers here in not securing your data in motion properly. So before we were recording, you were talking about one of my most favorite fine dining establishments, Burger King.
Yeah.
Something about their website not really passing mustard.
Right. So in my talk, I give a statistic that of the top 1 million websites, 51% receive a grade A, according to SSL Labs. That's pretty sad, honestly. You would think that these multinational corporations' top million websites should have really good rankings. 49% of them obviously don't get an A and have some sort of hole in them. Well, Burger King actually gets an F. And the reason is they actually allow connections to be made on TLS 1.0, which was basically declared dead in 2015. And that's due to what's called the drown attack. I don't have all the details on that, but it's basically a man-in-the-middle attack, similar to Heartbleed, I think. It's just hilarious that they would still be allowing that when they have form entry on for like coupons and stuff on their website. There's a lot of websites, obviously, in the top million, but if you have 49% of them not doing the best that they can to be secure, that's a big problem, in my opinion.
Is Burger King aware of this?
I have no idea. I haven't sent them a message, but maybe I should since I'm ratting them out today in my talk.
The last thing I want is for Burger King to go out of business and I can't have my favorite sandwiches. So please do what you can.
Yeah, I would definitely miss their breaded chicken sandwich for sure.
Any Burger King developers listening, help us out here. What other topics are you covering in your session here at StirTrek? Anything else?
I do talk a little bit about some attacks that have happened recently. When I first gave my talk in February, literally 3 days after, Google announced that they were able to break TLS 1.1, which was the last known good version before TLS 1.2. They basically were able to open a PDF secured with one cert, and they were able to open another one secured with the same cert through basically a collision attack, which is really interesting and very good timing between my last time I gave this talk and today at StirTrek. And then WikiLeaks happened like a month later. That's when WikiLeaks released an article allegedly accusing the CIA of basically having zero-day exploits into all Windows devices, iPhones, Apple iPads, or Android devices. And one of the really interesting holes that they had was on Samsung televisions. They basically used code to get into people's televisions and turn it into fake off mode. So the TV was on and could record people as like a bug, but the TV appeared off. So they could use this to spy on people. And it, of course, this is all alleged. You know, WikiLeaks isn't like necessarily a known source of good material according to our government, but you know, you have to ask the question, right? Like, was I bugged? Like, was my arguing with my children, you know, being recorded by the CIA? Who knows?
You mean WikiLeaks, or is there a different
WikiLeaks? Yeah, WikiLeaks.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Yeah. Sorry if I said that wrong.
So you've already mentioned some resources. I'm going to put those in the show notes at crosscuttingconcerns.com. Any more resources that you want to mention?
I did look at on like how SSL and TLS work. There's a website called Innovative Codes. They have some really good graphs about how the handshakes and the connections are made. Most developers, I think, would know that information, but maybe not. I really like looking at OWASP website. I really like watching Twitter feeds of like Jim Manico and Wolfgang Gorlich, I think his name is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like watching his stuff.
I'll put Wolfgang link there. I also follow him on Twitter. One other guy I'm going to mention is Bill Senf.
Oh, yeah. And, I follow him too.
He's actually local to the Columbus area here. And he likes to sort of try to bridge the gap between security experts and developers. Mm-hmm. So he's a good follow on Twitter as well. Maybe we'll have him on the show someday.
Yeah, my whole goal with the talk today was, and in the future, is just to get people to care about it, because I don't feel like enough people do care, or they care in their mind, or they say they do, but they don't really follow through with it. And hopefully my talk today will get people to at least think about it a little bit more.
My guest today has been Brett Whittington. Thanks very much for being on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
This has been the Cross-Cutting Concerns podcast, produced and recorded by Matt Groves, 2017. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media and leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you downloaded this podcast. For show notes, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com. This episode is recorded under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 license. Hosting for this podcast was made possible in part by Microsoft. It was recorded and mixed with the help of Audacity, Skype, and Camtasia Recorder. The theme music is by The Dirty Truckers. You can buy the music on Amazon or iTunes. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on a future episode, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com to submit your name and idea.